It's the world's greatest river, sustaining life on its banks for thousands of years. But now the Nile, which flows through 8 African countries, is dividing Egypt and Ethiopia. At issue is the construction of Ethiopia's Grand Renaissance Dam, which will become the largest of its kind in Africa.
The Great Nile has long been a source of tension between Egypt and Ethiopia. But in recent months, it's strained relations between the two countries to breaking point. This time, it's because of the Grand Renaissance, which Ethiopia started building 2 years ago. When completed, it will be Africa's biggest dam, enabling Addis Ababa to divert much-needed waters from the Blue Nile into its own territory. While this move has upset Sudan, it's infuriated Egypt, which claims it will reduce the supply to its population and is a threat to its national interest. Prime Minister Desalegn of Ethiopia has urged the Egyptians not to go mad, but to return to dialogue and discussion. President Morsi is apparently considering all options. So how serious is this situation, and how can Africa resolve it?
Hello, I'm Henry Bonsu, and this is Africa Today. So 8 African countries can claim some interest in the Nile, as well as Egypt and Ethiopia. There's Sudan, Uganda, DR Congo, Kenya, Rwanda and Burundi. But apart from Egypt and Sudan, the rest have signed the new Nile River Cooperative Framework Agreement. This replaces a 1929 accord in which the British gave Egypt a veto over any projects developed by upstream countries. Both sides say they prefer dialogue to war, but feelings are running very high. With me in the studio are Dr. Wafik Mustafa, former president of the Egyptian Community Association UK, and Asifat Seyfu, a former commander in the Ethiopian army. And on the line is David Chin, former US ambassador to Ethiopia and currently professor of international relations at George Washington University. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Juan, I'm going to start off with you. Your prime minister, Haile Mariam Desalegn, says nothing can stop this dam. It is vital to Ethiopia's interests. Do you agree with him? Do you back your prime minister and Ethiopia's stance on this?
Correction. He is not my prime minister. I am a refugee and have been, and I hadn't elected him or his party, whatever. But he is the prime minister of my country.
Right, okay, so he's not your man, but he represents your country.
He represents my country at the moment, one or the other.
Right.
Do I agree with what he said? Absolutely.
Why?
Because for umpteen number of centuries, the Nile, 86.4% of the water emanating from Ethiopia has been serving Sudan and Egypt. Sudan benefiting from the silt also.
Yes.
Which has become a bit too much. Now, the time has come for Ethiopia to get some use out of it. And it is our God-given right to do it.
Your God-given right. Okay, Dr. Wafik Mustafa. Your president, I assume you accept that he is your president, Morsi, says, if Egypt is the Nile's gift, then the Nile is a gift to Egypt. And if it loses one drop as a result of this Grand Renaissance Dam, then our blood is the alternative. Do you back your president? Do you back the Egyptian stance on this?
Well, I back pragmatism and dialogue. Creating a new treaty and understanding that everybody is winning.
But do you see why the Egyptians are so concerned about this, even to the point where some politicians were caught out saying they should bomb the dam?
Well, I did watch the dialogue in Arabic. Was a bit of, it was really based on no proper information. The things that Egyptians were shocked to know about the dam.
Yes.
We, as Egyptians, have not heard about a dam being built bigger even than the High Dam. It's the biggest construction on the River Nile. We also, the two biggest construction in the River Nile were in Egypt. And you touched on the 1929 agreement.
Indeed.
Between Kingdom of Egypt or King Fuad and the British to give Egypt the lion's share. I could see it's a little bit unfair and it need rethink, but in the same time, you don't want Oh, I don't want to see Egypt being starved or the mass of black land in Egypt being shrunk, because Egypt is 90 million people. So we have to give a fair consideration to Egyptian need without going into this rhetoric of blood and wars. And I think
so you don't like the rhetoric, but you say Egypt is threatened by this.
Certainly.
Right. OK, well, let's see if our colleagues over in the United States can help us, because as we speak, the US has now offered to mediate. Ambassador, can the US be an honest broker here? Because, of course, it's had a long-term alliance with Egypt for a variety of reasons to do with the Middle East. But, of course, in more recent years, got very close to Ethiopia because of the, quote, war on terror.
Well, clearly, the parties involved, which also includes Sudan, are the ones who need to sort out their differences. And I think there has been an enormous amount of misinformation, particularly in the last month or so, that has led to the heightened rhetoric and emotion, particularly that coming out of Egypt. Basically, what you're talking about is a hydropower dam that only blocks the water for the time frame that it takes to fill the reservoir behind the dam. Now, this is a very large reservoir, and it will take a number of years to fill. And this is a legitimate concern to Egyptians as to how long a time it takes and how much water is removed from the river for each year that the reservoir is filling. That needs to be negotiated. But once that reservoir is filled, the water continues to flow as before, the only distinction being you're going to have a little bit of evaporation in the reservoir, which will remove some water from the Nile, but it will remove far less than if that water were evaporating in Lake Nasser.
But the head of the Egypt's National Water Research Center says Ethiopia could, with this dam, reduce the flow of the Nile River by 10 billion kiloliters a year. And he claims that 1 billion kiloliters of reduction will take around 200,000 acres of farmland out of production, Egyptian farmland out of production. You can see, if that's at all true, why the Egyptians are extremely worried.
Well, one, I'm not a hydrologist, but I go back to the basic statement that once the reservoir is filled, I would highly question that that much water is removed from the Nile permanently. I don't see how that can happen. You're going to have some reduction by evaporation, but not that much. So I'm really very dubious about that remark.
Wafiq Mustafa, what about the way in which this situation can be resolved peacefully? Because some say that the reason why President Morsi is upping the ante here is because he's under pressure. He's just marking 1 year as president. He's admitted recently he's made so many mistakes. And so he's trying to throw a bone to the people, particularly those who support the Freedom and Justice Party, and say, look, here I am, you're president, and I'm telling those Ethiopians what to do.
Well, he can. There's no direct borders between Ethiopia and Egypt, and you know, Sudan in the middle, and it's quite complicated. That's why I think negotiation and a political solution, and it's very important. Egypt has got about 7 million acres of cultivated land. Very small amount. So can you, if it's dropped even by 200,000 acres or 500,000 acres, that's a huge area for Egypt. And Egypt, one of the biggest importers of wheat in the world. Okay. The dilemma is quite large. How to resolve this within the African family between two ancient nations like Egypt and Ethiopia is very, very important.
But if you say all that to the Ethiopian side, and we'll talk to the commander about that in just a moment, they might say, well, you've had the rub of the green for all these years. Since 1929, you've been able to block and veto any other project upstream. What have you been doing in all this time? You've been relaxing, you've been enjoying it, but what about us now? That's not going to wash with them, is it?
Certainly, but I think there must be somewhere point between the two sides where we can reach an agreement. As His Excellency said, that the water table of the Nile will not alter that much. How can we make the dam work for Ethiopia and at the same time the water supply for Egypt is not diminished?
Do you believe the Nile belongs to Egypt? Because many Egyptians do. They say it's a gift from God. Do you believe that?
Well, we're talking about pharaonic civilization. You know, Egypt, one of the oldest civilizations on earth. And we
but
have
something
always
that's
thought
down.
The Nile is Egyptian
but,
in a way.
Do you believe,
it's a bit...
but do you believe this is a gift from God? This belongs to Egypt?
Well, I lived most of my life in England. I probably wouldn't use the phrase, but certainly all my family will.
Commander, do you feel that the Nile belongs to Ethiopia because 85% of the water that in the end goes through Egypt starts off in the Blue Nile, which is, of course, in Ethiopia? Do you believe it belongs to you
Let
and your people?
Let me first respond to what our friend Dr. Mustafa said initially. He said the first time that Egypt heard about the dam was when it was announced. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised? When Egypt built the Aswan Dam, Ethiopia was never told. When Egypt dug the canal across to the Sinai and Ethiopia asked, you know what the response was? We can do whatever we like with the water on our land. Please remember this. Ethiopia did not say up to now, we can do anything we like with the water on our land. Now,
is that what you think the negotiation stance should be of the Ethiopian Prime Minister when he meets his opposite number?
But,
i.e. remind Egypt what they did with the Aswan Dam?
If they were to bring this question up, I'm sure they will throw this back on them.
All right.
Second thing is, Ethiopia had suffered through the various veto powers that Egypt was able to raise through her connection, the big powers, due to the fear of the big powers, of the fundamentalism, and the relationship that they wanted to keep with Israel. We could not borrow money from international agencies due to that. Now, do we feel that it is ours? Of course we do. But when our Emperor Menelik, the hero of all anti-colonialists, that shattered the myth of the invincibility of colonialism, was pressurized by the British to come to an agreement, what he said was, Ethiopia is a Christian country and will not let anyone die of thirst.
Right.
We will not arrest, mark the word, arrest the flow of the
All right. Nile. Let me go to Ambassador Chin in Washington. Ambassador, how closely do the positions you're hearing from our guests in the studio mirror what you think is going on in Addis Ababa and Cairo at the moment? And does it give you any hope of a resolution without violence?
Yes, I have some hope that this can be resolved in a peaceful manner. First, to my knowledge, there has never been a war anywhere in the world that has been a result exclusively of a fight over water, not a major war. And I don't think that this is going to become the first one. It's a very contentious issue. There's a lot of emotion involved, particularly on the Egyptian side. But the fact is that dams have been built on tributaries that feed the Nile for many years. The Marowe Dam recently opened up in northern Sudan. The Tekezi Dam opened on the Tekezi River in Ethiopia several years ago. Dams have been built in Uganda in the last decade. It just happens this is the largest dam that has ever been built on the system, and that's why it has attracted so much concern. But these are issues that can be dealt with so long as they are hydropower projects that allow the water eventually to flow again pretty much as it did before. And there is a natural flow issue on the Nile where it varies enormously from one year to the next. In 1985, the flow on the Nile at Dongola in Sudan, in the upper part of Sudan, was about 40 billion cubic meters, which is a very low flow. By the time you get to 2000, it was up to well over 100 billion cubic meters. So even in the natural scheme of things, there's enormous variation on this river system.
And Ambassador, one gets the impression that this has been simmering for quite a long time, for many, many years, not just 1929, but possibly before that. Did you notice this during your period as ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to Ethiopia, during your 3 years in Addis Ababa? Did it come up?
It did, and I've raised it with the former Prime Minister, Meles Zenawi. I tried to get my own government more interested in the issue. Quite frankly, I was totally unsuccessful in that effort. It was not as an emotional an issue at the time that I was in Ethiopia, but it struck me as being an issue that cried out for attention. I'm fully supportive of the Nile Basin Initiative, which at the technical level has done an enormous amount of positive things for improving use of Nile water. And there's very little discussion of that in this current sort of war of the words between Addis Ababa and Cairo. But a lot can be done to simply make better use of Nile water today. And one has to be very careful about large irrigation systems that are sometimes horribly inefficient and just literally waste water. And that needs to be looked at very closely.
Ambassador Shin, for the moment, thank you very much. Okay, lots of comments have been coming in through the Facebook page this week. Let's have a look at a few. And we'll start off with this one from Aki Frimpong. Aki says, Egypt's water is flowing through ancient irrigation systems. They should focus on modernizing their equipment instead of casual threats of war with Ethiopia. A far more efficient solution. Then we have another post via Facebook from Kaba Zigati, who says, now the British colonial era has passed. Ethiopia has the right to use her resources as she wishes. And finally, this from Mo Benyeda. Mo says, most scientists agree that the dam would not be detrimental to Egypt. I personally think that President Morsi is using this issue as a way to deflect attention from the domestic problems he has. History shows that leaders in trouble have always used war as a way to increase their popularity at home. If Ethiopia manages to pull off this amazing project, other African nations should be proud. And if you'd like to have your voice heard, here's how you can get in touch.
Keep your thoughts coming in. Email africa@presstv.co.uk or text us on +44 78 00 80 86. Or you can go to our Facebook fan page, Africa Today, Press TV London. Or you can now follow us on Twitter. We are at Africa Today TV.
Okay, let's pick up where we left off. And Dr. Wafik Mustafa, that email, that post from Aki Frimpong, quite pertinent, you might say. Egypt's water flowing through ancient irrigation systems. And you hear what Ambassador Shin said there. So instead of saber-rattling and making those threats against Ethiopia, you should have and you should focus on modernizing your equipment.
Well, there is a point here because, as I say, only last few weeks has this come about. It's been going for 2 years, obviously.
Yes.
And even the Arab media, Egyptian media, with the dozens of TV stations, not anybody have ever touched.
How could that be the case, given that this is a monumental
it's a
project,
huge
the largest
project
in Africa? I mean, is it because you guys are just asleep on the job?
Well, it must be. It must be someone not interested. It's a game because the Arab world is, as you could say, was really consumed with the Arab Spring,
yes,
with the civil wars, with the trouble in Egypt. But the fact of the matter is there is a problem. And the problem is, will it affect the cultivation process in Egypt? Of course, there's got to be some changes in the irrigation system in Egypt to save water instead of seeping down. There must be some ways. That's why it's got to be win-win because
this is not a solution. This is the thing. When you look at the countries ranged against you, essentially, or those who have signed this new Nile River Cooperative Framework Agreement, replacing the old one, whatever your president says, I mean, you know, you've got Uganda, DR Congo, Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, only Sudan is still an ally of yours in this. Is this partly because Egypt has not been involved in African politics enough, in sub-Saharan African politics, the African Union, and that's one of the reasons why you're weak now in this situation.
It's unfortunate the Arab media and the press somehow it detached itself. Even civil war in Sudan hardly been reported. I mean, we have a very good feeling for Ethiopians. We're very friendly with them. I remember when I was a child, I was taken to the airport to clap my hands when Emperor Haile Selassie used to come to Cairo. Yes. So we have a lot of feelings for them. So there's really this rhetoric and hate and propaganda is not really the way to resolve this.
All
issue.
Right then, Ambassador, what would you like to see? Sorry, Commander, what would you like to see happen next?
If I may just follow up.
Briefly, if you will, yeah.
Thank you. On what your correspondent said,
yes.
the improvement of the irrigation system is a minor
yes.
point.
What's the fundamental point then?
15.4% of the flow is going to the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. 10.
Well,
We're not going to agree this here.
15.4%.
It's huge, yeah.
It's a very huge number.
Yeah.
And the amount of evaporation from the Aswan Dam is mind-boggling, too. The water that you use on water-intensive or on your farms, water-intensive crops like cotton and rice, is not an effective way of using water that could be used by others.
Well, talking of effective, Commander, 6,000 megawatts. That's going to be produced when this dam, this Grand Renaissance Dam, is fully up and running. The question is, when do you want to complete it? Because some people say that in order to allay the concern of Egyptians, instead of finishing it within 3 to 5 years, you should take much longer, finishing it in 10 or 11 years, so the flow isn't disturbed too much.
I say the contrary. Why doesn't Egypt raise the veto on our ability to raise money and do it in a shorter time and avoid this elongated problem?
All right. Ambassador Shim, we're going to finish with you. The Americans are trying to broker. They want a kind of working party between Egypt and Ethiopia. Can that work, do you think?
It's not clear to me what role the U.S. is going to play in all of this. I think clearly any effort to engage in more discussion, more dialogue, more transparency of information. And here I would be sometimes critical of the Ethiopian side, where they have not been sufficiently transparent, is clearly called for and I think will help the situation.
All right.
The United States and other international players can play a useful role in trying to provide good counsel to both sides so that this does not get out of hand. But I really doubt that the United States is in a position to, quote, mediate, unquote, this dispute. I think it's gone far beyond that point.
All right. Thank you very much, Ambassador Shin. And that's it for today. Thanks to all those of you who sent in comments to us. Email africa@presstv.co.uk or text us to +44 7800 008086. And don't forget, you can now follow us on Twitter @AfricaTodayTV. Many thanks to our guests, Dr. Wafik Mustafa, Commander Asafu Asifu, and Ambassador David Shin. Join us next week for another edition of Africa Today. Till then, it's goodbye for me. And on behalf of the whole team, thanks again for watching.
Thank you.